Well, good morning out there in Radio Land on this March the 9th, 2026. It is good to be with you guys. Hope you're doing well. Hope the Lord's blessing is upon you today and the glory of God is shining upon you. And may the peace of God rule richly in your heart in the name of Jesus, our Messiah and Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. It is Monday morning here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio. So that means we've got Miss Gretchen. How are you doing? Amen. Mr. Miller, how are you doing?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
And Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning? Amen. And good morning there to 91.1 Highsville, Glasgow, 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky, and 91.5 Litchfield, Hardinsburg. Also, good morning to our app listeners. It's great to have you guys in. Believe in God for incredible things in your life today. May the Lord that heals, restores, revives, saves, work wondrously in your life today. Submit yourself to Him. Come under His covering. Hide out in His shelter. Amen. He is our refuge and our strength in the day of trouble. If we submit to Him and we fear Him, He is our protector. Amen. Well, we've got some announcements. Miss Hannah, do you want to cover our announcements?
Mm-hmm. First up, I'm going to, I still have to add this one to our app this week, but there is an anointed and appointed women's meeting at Kingdom First Worship Center, 404 East Maple Street in Caneyville, and that'll be March the 9th. Oh, that is tonight. Well, I didn't have the little, so... I'm sorry. Yes, that's tonight, and it'll be at 6, starting at 6, and will last until 8.
People have time to get there.
They do. They do. So that one will be tonight, and then they have a revival coming up. That one will be, let's see, that one is on our app. I had that one in time. So that will be March 18th. So March 18th. That's a Wednesday. It'll be 6:30 is when that one starts, and it will last until March the 22nd. So those will be 6:30 nightly. Same address there in Caneyville, Kentucky. So don't forget to go out and join them there. My app is acting a little bit weird, but I know that, let's see here if it'll let me get back. Also, Brother Denny wanted us to remember to let you guys know that they do have a men's weekly Bible study there in Litchfield. And if you want more information on that, it's just right there at the American Legion post there. You will see it. It's not hard to miss if you're right in town, close to the Grayson County Middle School. And they just meet 10 o'clock every Tuesday. So, just a time of fellowship and studying in God's word together with a group of men. They have let them meet at that facility. So we hear great things from Brother Denny about that. So that's tomorrow, each Tuesday at 10 a.m. And then also don't forget about our Share-a-thon as well. That will be March, the last week of March here, March 20. 5th, 26th, and 27th. So 25th, 26th, and 27th. And one more, I know that there's a revival out there in Southside, another revival in Caneyville, so Southside Christian Center. That one will be, let me get it pulled up here. That's called their Spring Revival. It will be March the 13th weekend, so March 13th through 15th. And it will be coming up here starting at 6:30 on Friday and Saturday. And then the Sunday service will be 11 a.m. So there will be a fellowship meal following Sunday morning service. And the speakers will be Bishop Paul Pinnock and Evangelist Samuel Johnson. So join them there for their revival. So several things coming up that you can get to be a part of, several revivals and events going on in the community.
Amen. There's also a revival coming up there at Kingdom First starting March 18th, I do believe. And that's going to run for a few nights. That's Kingdom First.
We just said it.
Oh, I heard the Southside one. I didn't hear the
Kingdom First.
Before that. Oh, I didn't hear that one. I was I was listening, but I missed that one. But and then
that one made our app. The other one didn't make our app.
And as Hannah did say, make sure you got those 3 days marked in your calendar for the Spring Share-a-thon, 25th, 26th, and 27th, as she was saying just a second ago. And we're going to get perfect attendance up to that point with our trivia question. So we are 2 weeks straight, every question answered, and we're going to keep going. I call it perfect attendance, and we are going to keep this perfect attendance up. We're going to have a perfect attendance party called the Share-a-thon, and I'm just so excited for it. Really, I'm just so excited for it because it is a spring Share-a-thon, and the word spring is in it. And it was kind of like, I know it's supposed to be warmer today, but it's not exactly warm this morning with the fog and the cloudiness. And so I think it's going to warm up. And I did look at this weekend, though, after some rain comes through middle of the week, it's looking like the weekend's going to be pretty. It's going to be a pretty weekend.
I think just
so,
a couple of days, it's going to be cool. And then this week, and then, back and forth.
Yep. Welcome to Kentucky weather. Yeah. Amen. Welcome. Where you could need a snowsuit in the morning and shorts in the afternoon. That is Kentucky weather, to the glory of God. Amen. All right. Well, we are in the book of Acts. We are trucking right along. Let's see here. I'm in Ezekiel from yesterday still. We are in Acts 17. I think we are starting
in Ecclesiastes.
Well, I wasn't Ecclesiastes. Ezekiel.
I remember.
And so,
good word yesterday. Good word.
Oh, thank you. Let's see here. We're going to go to verse 10. Verse 10, I think, is where we're going to start today.
Say that again. Chapter
Acts 17, verse 10.
Okay.
And as you're turning there, Jason, you got any announcements in the school coming up here?
None that I can think of off the top of my head.
I know we had a couple boys play in the KCA All-Star game
this past weekend. Yeah, I was out of town, so I'm out of the loop on that one. But, yeah, they participated. I honestly don't know if our side won or not. I don't know it went to overtime. But they kind of mixed up the groups. Usually it's East versus West, but I think they kind of divided them up differently this year.
So. More evenly?
Yeah, I think there was a little disparity, and then, so they – divide them up differently, and I don't know which side my boys got. They were together, I know that, but I don't know which side they got grouped on. But that's always a fun time.
And, so how was your event this weekend?
Oh, yeah. We Kelly and I went down to Paducah to a marriage conference, and it was a powerful weekend. It was really good. Very good messages and instruction and encouragement. So we had a good time.
Did your marriage leave changed?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Did you buy her roses and flowers? I mean, chocolates on the way home or anything?
No, we did stop at Patty's for dessert. That's,
is it?
That's, I guess that's, she had chocolate pie. They boast that the meringue on the pie is 6 to 8 inches tall.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, they sent me a picture and just sent me the picture of the pies and everything, and so I said, are y'all at Patty's? I knew right off.
Now, I could I will admit that I could eat the chocolate pie without the chocolate part. I could just eat meringue. I could just scoop it right off.
I had some of it. I kind of goofed up because we were thinking that we would just, because we knew there was a lot of dessert, but we think we would brought some home and finish it later. But
you didn't bring none home, did you?
Well, no, I couldn't, because the kind of guy had ice cream with it as well.
Oh.
It had like a coffee flavored ice cream with it as well, so
that's why you got to forward think a little bit.
And I had to eat, unfortunately, I had to eat it all.
You got
to
play. It's a rough life.
No, I couldn't eat it all. I ate all I could, and then I had to get rid of the rest. But Kelly brought some home.
We ate a when we was in Florida one time before, we was with Miss Katie and Brother Josh, and we had gone to this one restaurant and ate.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told us there, because I asked about ice cream, and they said, well, there's a world-famous ice cream place right down the road. And so he's like, well, we'll go there. Like, why not? And so we thought it was like an ice cream place. You just kind of go up and order and take it with you. It's actually a place you go and sit down at. And so we had just ate a full meal, went to this place to get ice cream.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they had us seated with drinks, popcorn. And Katie looks at us and goes, we were just in another restaurant. And here we all are eating popcorn like 10 minutes after we left the other restaurant.
Yeah.
And then we get our ice cream. And I kid you not, this ice cream, it was at least 16 inches tall.
Yeah.
And it was everything. I tried to eat it and I couldn't. But it was quite funny that we went from one restaurant to another restaurant.
Well, that's kind of what we did, but we drove for about an hour.
Well, we drove about 10 minutes. And then they set us again with drinks.
Had a nice Cajun restaurant that
Waters
that
and afternoon. Cokes.
Yeah. So well. Went from Cajun to Patty's. They all wear overalls and long dresses. All the
is this, are you saying Patty's? Something about overalls? Because yeah. I wear
the,
overalls.
Well, they every last one of them had overalls on. And then all the ladies had those long, you know.
Older looking, old timey. I think it's actually called Patty's Settlement, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep, yeah. Yep.
Well, I just, I like the old style. I wear overalls without even being asked to.
Well, more power to you, I guess.
Have you all had
the
food?
I see Phil wears overalls.
Yeah. It's...
Have you all had the food then?
There were some people that didn't quite finish all their food. I was tempted to see if they wanted to give some of their bread up.
You are your father's son, ain't you?
But they did.
I've been for an event. I've been.
They looked
to
a
that.
Little standoffish, so.
I've been to that outside area, like where they have you can walk through and where they have the lights at night and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think they had a petting zoo out there or something. But I always wanted to eat there. I've never ate there before.
Now I thought we were talking about the spiritual side of the marriage conference, and you're just talking about food.
Yeah. That was good. The spiritual part was good. It was very very challenging.
Yeah.
Was
there a
oriented.
Specific like part of marriage that he was tackling, or was it just marriage in general?
No, just putting the Lord first. And
was this the Rick Burgess?
Yeah, Rick Burgess from the Rick Burgess Show, formerly Rick and Bubba. But so he and his wife were doing it, and
it's not Rick and Bubba no more.
It's not Rick and Bubba anymore. Now.
Oh, okay.
I did it like 31 years, and now he's by himself. Well, he's not by himself, but Bubba's not with him. But anyway. But yeah, he and his wife spoke, and they do a lot of speaking, or he does more than her, but they were really heavy on making sure that Christ is at the forefront of your marriage. And one thing that stuck out of my mind is, I can't remember, I don't have my notes with me from the meeting, but a well-known, he was an evangelist and researcher, and he said, now he's head of some kind of mission board. I'm not sure which one. But anyway, did research, 39,000 couples, 39,000. And, because the statistic is that a lot of people throw out that divorce is almost as high in the church as it is outside the church. It'd be the 39,000 couples and that attended church regularly, not just occasionally, but regularly, and prayed together. And study the Word together. And out of that 39,000, over 10 years, they're still studying them today. So it's been longer than 10 years now, but 10 years, only one divorce. One. And, some of those people are, older, and so they're going to continue following that same 39,000 through till they die or whatever.
Till death do they part.
Yeah. And, but only one. And so it was really interesting. So that was a lot of challenging in that area. So it was really good.
So. Amen. All right. Well,
we had a good time, though. It was good.
We're in Acts chapter 17, verse 10. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into a Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. Because you remember previously, they didn't receive the word well. There was a lot of jealousy. That it wasn't good for Paul and Silas there. So now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I love that they're really just seeking the Lord. Like, this is as we should all be, to study the scripture to show that these things really are in there that's being talked of. Many of them therefore believed, but not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. So at first it was he was there, and they were studying. They were studying the word of God. They were studying to make sure what they, and many Jews came to Christ, and as well as many Greek women of high standing and men, which that's the second time we've seen that where women of high standing converted to Christ and men. The Greeks were a lot more receiving of the gospel, but the guys that just stirred up all the problems from the previous town heard that Paul and Silas was there, and guess what they did? They traveled towns as well just to agitate, to stir up, to cause division, and Paul had to get out of there. Then Paul went to Athens, and then from there he called for Timothy and Silas, and they departed as well. But you can see the hatred of some of the Jews for Paul. Like, you could see it. They were willing to go to another town just to stir up and agitate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like a current political climate.
Well, we talked about how closely related that religious type spirit and the political spirit really are, and how they feed off of each other, and how you see them going back and forth, and how they use each other throughout the New Testament, how the Jewish people use Rome and how Rome used the Jewish people, and how both of those political type mindsets and the religious type mindsets, they feed off of each other and they use each other to execute their plans.
Well, I would say probably like never before, there are many spiritual issues in politics today, as far as the attack on marriage and gender and the life of the unborn. You know, it's not just, you know, how we should tax people or whether we should tax this rate or that rate anymore.
Beyond greed and power.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is much more of a spiritual fight than it has ever been.
But it is kind of tied into greed and power, too, because of the love of money causing people they're willing to compromise morals for the love of money, like how much money they're making off of advertising for abortion, for example, marketing to the younger generation. And even with, you know, I mean, think about we've talked about the, you know, sexual immorality, that whole banner, that whole industry, how much money they're making. Like, so it seems like it really did start with the greed and the love of money, but then it's caused a compromise, a major compromise.
I mean, you see a lot of commercials, you know, now that you'll see, you know, and it's kind of sly, like, you know, it's, you know, you'll see two women or two men, you know, marketing, you know, something that has nothing to do with know, that, but it's there. It's real subtle, you know.
And it really is an attempt to, especially the next upcoming generation, to make them think that this is normal. If we can make a generation believe that something's normal, then they'll be more susceptible to it. I've recently just heard of several, I've just kind of been heartbroken over several new, almost want to say new cases, because it truly is a mind thing, but people entering into the LGBTQ lifestyle at a really young age. And it's just heartbreaking to see at younger and younger kids in grade school and high school, you know, begin to think that that's their identity and start having a, you know, they say that it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend of the same, same gender. And it's just becoming, now it's like you used to know of people, you used to maybe hear of that family member of that person that you know, or but now it's, I know there's a lot of people, I've talked to people in our ministry who they're dealing with that in their own family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's just, we're starting to see it on a more personal level now.
Yeah, but
sorry, I dropped something. I'm trying to organize in here. It's just,
yeah. Whoever switched out my mic or my earphones cord for this flexible one, that's kudos to them.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
I did it just for you, Jason. No,
the old one would all get twisted around, and oh, it drove me nuts every Monday morning.
It drives me nuts, like, when I'm trying to do this in here, and it's like cables were unplugged, and these cables are twisted over here, and that's thrown over here. And
I get it.
It throws me out of my groove in here, because you got to...
Like the old telephone cord.
Yeah, because I got to push buttons and do computers and talk and host at the same time, and if anything's out of order, it's like, I'm not a very type B person, or type A, I guess, whatever it is, but when I do in the morning, I have to be, because if things are out of whack, it throws me... I don't bend as easy as I used to. All right, Acts 12. Now we're going to move to 16, verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So his spirit was provoked. I would say basically saying he's stirred.
Yeah,
like
that's
he
what
is stirred.
King James says. Stirred.
Yeah, he's stirred in his spirit. He is stirred. Unto action. He's seeing their idols. He's seeing all the idolatry. He's seen all the religiosity, all of that. And he's like, I've got to do something. Now we're getting ready to get into what would be one of my favorite parts of the text, really, is the Areopagus, the Mars Hill. It is one of my favorite portions of text. I don't know why I love it so much. I feel like they're stirring by Paul. He's going to go to the Areopagus. Just a little background of the Areopagus. It is in Athens. It wasn't like the Colosseum, like big as that, but it was a large structure where the greatest thinkers of the day would come. So like the greatest philosophers would come. People could come and listen to him debate. They would bring all these ideologies into this room and they would debate it. They would argue it. They would share new mindsets. They would share new, I don't believe this is what they did. They would share new gods they found. They would share new ways. So theoretically today it would be a place where people go in and say, this is what we believe in Christianity. This is what we believe in Scientology. This is what we believe in Islam. This is what we believe in Hinduism. This is what we believe in New Ageism. This is what we believe in all these things. This was that place where they would come to do that. They would challenge each other. I guess it was like the modern day TED Talk, in a sense, like what they believe, how do we advance in a society, technology. It was a place where all the greatest thinkers of the day gathered to think and to talk. And Paul is getting ready to get in the room. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him, and some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others say he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Maybe I need my glasses this morning. Because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting. And we're going to stop here for a second.
So was it like a temple or just a...
I don't think it was like a temple per se. I think it resembled like more of a Colosseum type layout.
Okay.
Because I feel like the one who was talking was in the middle.
Or is it like the Parthenon?
I think you had the acoustics of that in Nashville.
I think.
Yeah, and then you just kind of go up and down around. I think they all surrounded the person speaking for acoustic sake, so everybody could hear.
Yeah,
but it was really about philosophies, and the Grecians were notorious for their philosophers, the Stoic ones, the how many religions they had, or you know, they would be walking down the road and find a rock they really like and say, "Let's worship it." Like,
it's interesting that they would think that he was following some strange god. They're so clueless, you know?
Yeah, that he was foreign divinities. Now, you can trace all of the Greek mythology back to Tower of Babel if you want to. Don't have that time for this morning, but there is a tracing back you can do and see where Nimrod and his mother-in-law really was the instigator of all. And when they separated and they got expelled, that's where foreign gods really started from, all right? Yeah. That's where they really did start from. And you can see out of that, all pagan religions are very similar a lot of times in philosophies. And Areopagus is where the Grecians loved the wisdom of men. They loved the philosophies of men. They were tied up to it. They gave their life to it. They loved to, what they would say, think deeply on issues. Sounds very familiar to some today, that we are trying to think deeply, and we become worshipers of creation rather than worshipers of creator, because now we're worshiping what we think. We worship what we ponder.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That I think a lot of times people, they are just worshiping their thoughts. You know, I'm trying to think of something new that no one else has thought of yet, you know. And it's almost like they get caught up in that, you know, and that devil's just manipulating their minds.
And then a lot of the false gods had, like, certain things that they could provide, like, specific things. And that's the thing with our God is the one true God, he provides all of our needs. But the thing is people are limiting themselves with these other gods because they have, like, one thing that they're responsible for, or maybe a few things that they... Well, this God will give me this, and so this God will give me this.
So they had all kinds of gods that they, you know, one God for this particular need, one God for that need.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, we are going to be at a stopping point there, and we can stop where, let me see here. Let me get my, we'll start on 19 tomorrow or Wednesday. Never know what's going to happen on Tuesday. But I do love how they say the babbler. Just somebody throwing out a bunch of nonsense, as Mr. Miller said. You know, preacher of foreign divinities because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. That it just shows you just how much they were isolated over there. And but this is no small... This probably for the current day was very much equivalent to Paul going into New York City or something like that.
Right.
And talking at one of the most profound places you could talk for philosophers and all these. Like, it was a... Going to the Areopagus would have been a big deal for this day. Like, this is the central piece of philosophy, false religion, all these kind of things for the day. Even enough that you will hear him say, like, when I come in here, you all had statues of everything. Like, this was a pretty big place, if I'm not mistaken, the Areopagus. Yeah. But we're going to see how Paul handles himself in front of all these men, women, philosophers, great thinkers. And so I'm excited to continue down Acts 17.
Yeah.
But right now I'm excited because we're going to continue our trivia hot streak.
All right.
Mm. We're in a streak. We're in a streak.
Going streaking.
Whoa. No, we are not.
Mr. That's Miller. What you say when you're on a streak. We're going streaking.
Monday question number one. We'll just move. All right. What caused the Lord to turn the captivity of Job and return to him twice of all that he had had? What caused the Lord to turn the captivity of Job and return to him twice of all he had? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here. I threw a hymn in here this morning for Mr. Miller. So right after this hymn on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here. Welcome back on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on this March the 9th, 2026. We do have an answer for that trivia question. We got one. We've got an answer. Miss Judy Shear, when Job prayed for his friends. When Job prayed for his friends. Had plenty of calls. I love all these calls. People's really going to make sure we're getting this the streak alive. Now, I'm not going to say what Jason said before the break. And then I think, amen. I think that... I've got everything organized in here now. Feel a little bit better, more comfortable in here. It's just everything was so far away, and I couldn't stretch. Archie, little Sierra, I hope this is okay, has some appointments today to see if He needs more surgery now. So she said, pray for him. So, Lord, we just lift up little Archie this morning, and we ask you for favor. We ask you that you would just continue to move, continue to heal, continue to do things. The doctors say never would have happened, but yet you stepped in because you're the factor. You're that. You are the one that does the impossible, Lord. So I just pray that you would get everybody wisdom, but also you would show yourself strong and mighty. Yes. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, we've got a lot of questions. We have a guest today, too. I didn't see one on the calendar, so
no,
just want to make sure.
Today.
All right. So
it was a good song there, wasn't it?
I figured you would like that.
I heard over the weekend, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and the whole song. There's several verses in there. There's some good stuff in there. Some good lyrics.
I'm starting to like hymns more and more. The more that I listen to, the more.
The more that you grow in the
Lord.
I'm
kind of converting. I may be converting. I don't know. The lyrics are just so.
That's what I was thinking as I was.
Powerful. Biblical.
As I was listening. Because they even put on the screen instead of the hymn book. I don't know why. It just seems. They had two large screens. So, you know, it's like you couldn't get away from the lyrics. They were right in front of you. And so I was just kind of pondering them as I was sitting there. I didn't really sing, but I was sitting there. And that's really good, some good stuff. Really good.
Well, we are going to start in some Bible Q&A. We're going to have plenty of time for Kingdom Corner and everything today. And so let's just start off. In 1 Peter,
Brother Denny answer, or not answer, but did he provide these trivia questions or no?
No, these I think Miss Gretchen.
I did.
I do want to say thank you to Brother Denny who did provide the new tabletop, though.
I was just getting ready to say that. Boy, that's sharp
fresh.
Looking.
Yeah, he put a new piece of laminate on our table that was some of that laminate had seen its better days, and it looks great in there. Mm-hmm. And so thank him for getting that done. And Saturday night we got the room put back together and ready to roll for Sunday morning. So
look good. Looks real good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with. So big
I almost
thanks.
Didn't want to set my coffee mug down on it. Just so. You're
going to have to get some new coasters.
Yeah.
So big thanks out there to Brother Ramsey for helping us out here,
amen,
getting that done. Mm-hmm. And 1 Peter chapter 3, the only reference to our prayers, I'm sorry, is 1 Peter 3, the only reference to our prayers being hindered. So let's turn over there and we'll look at that. You know the exact verse you're looking at, Jason?
No, I don't.
I think it's 7. First, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, because he's been talking about your wives, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Yes.
Like, specifically, I'm not for sure if this is the only place it's mentioned. I would think principally it's not, but I think specifically where those words are used, it may be, but I couldn't guarantee it, because I would say that, I don't know, would you consider Daniel praying and the answer to his prayer hindered the same thing as this? Because I feel like I kind of wouldn't, but that's...
No, I think his prayer was answered. It was just delayed because of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
I would think that one.
But it's hindered, like... never going to happen, or there's more difficulty, or...
Would you think it's like praying amiss?
I don't know.
I wouldn't see this one as praying amiss. Like, I would see praying amiss as when we're praying outside of God's will. This seems like there's a disobedience, and because of our disobedience to the order of the Lord...
Mm-hmm. He's not
hearing it. Our prayers are hindered. But I guess for me, I want to know, like, what's... that word hindered exactly mean? Like, is it they're not heard? Are they not, like, are they cut off? Or are they what? In the Greek, in the Strong's, it says cut down, hewn down, hinder, or cut off or cut out.
Cut off, oh, wow.
And so...
Well, you know, it came up this weekend, and he didn't really expound on it, but then I started thinking about it. Are there other instances? You know, then I just kind of jotted it down because I didn't want to start chasing a rabbit trail right in the middle of the marriage conference. So so I just thought, well, I'll just ask everybody else. they can do the research for me. it just, I don't recall any other references, but I'm sure there are other instances in which our prayers are hindered. But
this is what MacArthur says on his notes.
All right.
This refers specifically to the husband's prayer for the salvation of his wife, C 3:1. Such a prayer would not, I'm sorry, such a prayer would be hindered if he were not respectful of her needs and fellowship.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that for sure. But are there other examples of our prayers being hindered? I couldn't think of any, but like I said, it was in the middle of a message.
If it's cut off or cut down, I would say there is that portion of text that basically, is it Matthew or John that talks about for the unbeliever, for the sinner, your prayers are not heard.
That's true.
Would that be anything remotely like because of our lifestyle or because of our no trusting in Jesus, our no relationship with Him, our prayers are not heard?
Because we're not His child, not His heir.
Yeah. There would that come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think would have to be similar. I think that would be a lot more similar than Daniel's prayer being delayed.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that is basically saying that you're not going to be heard. Which I feel like from the cutoff, cut out, that's more like your prayer's not going to be answered if you were living disrespectfully and dishonorably to your wife.
Yeah.
As a husband. Which is very strong language here.
Yeah, it is.
I will say that.
Mm-hmm. I looked up, here lately I've been, I look at the Empire Bible and the interlinear words, but I've been following, I get Jonathan Kahn's little devotional book magazine each month, and sometimes he'll expound on the Hebrew or Greek of a word, and I'll look it up then in my Power Bible, and maybe a little bit different or something. So I'll look it up then, I'll Google it, and say, what's the Hebrew for it? And usually it's always right, whatever he says. So I looked this one. I just looked up the word, the Hebrew for hindered, and it says to obstruct, hold back, delay, or prevent progress, particularly regarding a believer's spiritual walk, obedience to God, or the spread of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometimes maybe we just get a little general, definition, but we don't have the real full intense, what the Hebrew is,
Sure.
Greek.
And that's what a concordance does. It just kind of gives us what it could mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot more, there's people with a lot more specialized training that could probably help us as we continue to, and that's one of the greatest, I guess you would call it graces upon our generation from the Lord, that it's favor we didn't earn or didn't deserve, but yet He's allowed us to live in a time whenever we can't have access to have deeper study and mm-hmm. deeper context and deeper understanding of the scripture. And we are very blessed. I can't even imagine, when I was 18. So what is that? A long time ago now. And I just got born again. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a enormous big deal when I got my first Vines and Strongs. That changed the game for me, studying mm-hmm. and thinking just how far we've come with Bible apps and with access to commentaries and access to all these things. I would have, when I first was 18, I wouldn't even know what to think of this, because I thought I was a big deal. I remember I brought my Vines and my Strongs with me to Africa in my carry-on, because that's how big of a deal they were to my life. And now, thinking about it, I have an app that I can just click on my finger. And I see this as a tremendous blessing mm-hmm. and the grace of God upon our generation to give us this ability. So just how Miss Gretchen was able to pull that up there and find deeper. This is an opportunity to be a Berean as we've never had before, mm-hmm. to really know the Word of God.
And I've, I've found so much too here lately studying. I've got a book all over the Christmas, and it's on the Lord's Prayer. And, just discovering how much we don't know because we're not Jewish, you know, and just what the word, you know, and what it really entailed, you know, in our life, for our lives, you know. And so I've just really been enjoying that, discovering so much. Some of the things you all were talking about today, you know, about the gods, you know, how that their name, you know, represented what they could do, mm-hmm. you know, if they, you know, and our God is the same way, except he can do so much more.
He can do everything and more.
You know, just what I discovered when Moses said, when he asked what God's name was, and he says, I am what I am, you know, and it really means.
I am that I am.
Yeah.
That was Popeye that said, I am what I am.
Okay. All right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, and just, you know, all he could do was when he ate spinach, huh? Yeah. But our God, what, you know, everything that he is to us was in that name, you know, our deliverer, our redeemer, our savior, you know. That's what that was, you know. We kind of made it, put him like in a little bit of a box, you know, but it's, oh, my goodness, he burst out of that box.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. One listener sent in a question. Some say the angel of the Lord mentioned in the Bible, maybe the Holy Spirit.
Can I ask one question first?
Sure.
Before you get on that one. Do you think on this particular passage about the prayer being hindered, could that be reversed for wives as well? Or you think that's specifically to the husband? It almost sounds that it is to me specifically to the husband.
I think it is because he was the covering, her covering.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I do too.
I think because he's dealing with the context of the weaker vessel and how he's supposed to be leading and loving and covering. Mm-hmm. I think it is specifically to the husband, just for contextually sake.
Okay.
That's not to say that women's prayers are not powerful or anything to that regard. But I think in this specific text, he's talking specifically to the husband.
Okay.
And I think our prayers could be hindered too.
Absolutely, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think if you were asking contextually, I think it would mean that. So
I think one of the things I was thinking about is, and if I get to Kingdom Corner, it's going to talk about humility, but how the Lord resists the proud. So I think part of that is with it, like in James, when it talks about when you humble yourself and you turn from your wicked ways, and we seek his face, then he will hear. So I was thinking about that too. Like when your heart is prideful, then the Lord resists that, and therefore that would be him not listening.
Right.
You know, not acting upon whatever we're praying for. So I think that's part of it, with that scripture. But
yeah. All right. Oh, boy. I assume we had somebody call in.
Sounds like it.
Somebody wants to chime in.
All right. I love it when that happens. So.
But. Get more people. What, you love when people call in to talk about the topic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked that question, because I know, you know, we have a lot of great listeners that will you know.
Yeah,
I was kind of joking when I said do the research for me, but
I was actually thinking I feel like I've heard someone give a message on several times on that verse.
Yeah,
have you all heard people like give a message on that verse?
Well, I've never really heard it really broken down.
Yeah,
but like even this weekend when it came up, like. He mentioned it, but he didn't really break
expound
it down
on it. Yeah.
So.
But yeah, they've kind of used it, but maybe not went into the Greek and broken it down in that way, like we're trying to do.
All right.
Oh, that hurt my ear.
I have a little bit of technical difficulty. All right.
That is, that's a good topic, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. That's why I, you know, kind of wanted to bring that question up, is because that's a wonderful thing that we have so many great listeners that can, you know, offer their their opinion and
insight. And
not really their opinion, but their from the scriptures mm-hmm. there. So
yeah, excited to see what anyone else has to say on it.
All right, I think we got it, Brother Philip.
Yeah,
okay, we got it.
Third time was the charm, they say.
My comment is just this. I don't think we can take the statement that the Pharisees made to Jesus, that God hears not sinners, and make a doctrine out of it. Because we know God hears sinners, or they couldn't ever become saints.
That's true.
Yeah. How you gonna get saved if God won't hear when you call? So we know he will, and we know that God has been generous to sinners, all of us down through the years. I don't think it's good church doctrine to say, well, God hears not sinners. I think they were just trying to say that Jesus was a rebel, a sinner, and God wouldn't want to have nothing to do with him. I don't think we can build doctrine on that statement. That's where I'm at with it. I'm thankful that God hears sinners. Mm-hmm. He's heard me many a time when I was in sin and wanting out and cried unto him for help. He's always helped.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that he does. I don't necessarily know that every prayer that a sinner prayed that God's going to answer blessings and all kind of things like that.
Right.
But I do believe there is room for a sinner to pray.
Yeah, I agree. But let me ask you this, Brother Trent. Do you think, are those prayers being heard or answered? Are they specific to a cry for salvation, or do you think he hears other prayers?
No, I think you could take the Bible and prove different.
Okay.
I believe if you went through the Bible and scoured through it, you'd find that there are many prayers that sinners got answered in throughout the scheme of God's word. Now, I'm not trying to make a new doctrine or nothing like that.
Sure, sure.
I don't think it will contextually stand the scrutiny of Bible study to say that sinners' prayers are not answered or not heard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm driving, fixing to get out of the truck here right now. But So I throw that out there, and I can't stay around to prove it.
<That's>
Y'all have to prove it or disprove it.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. Yeah. So,
well, God bless. And yeah. I'm thankful that we, even though we're saints, we still have our difficulties, but in God's generous to us.
Yes, he is.
I'm just very thankful. It's such a precious time. To be about the Father's business. I don't think I've ever seen a more exciting time to be in ministry and to behold the goodness and the mercy and the grace and the forbearance of God.
Yeah.
And a time that we needed it anymore.
Right. Amen.
there's a great need, isn't there?
There is indeed.
Thank God he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we could ask or think by the power of the Holy Ghost working in us.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm thankful for that today. Makes me want to preach, and I've got to go in here and do therapy. So somebody in here is going to get talked to this morning. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, have a great week, Brother Thanks. Trent. Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I would like to have. I know you said he didn't have time. He had to go inside.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Pharisee that actually said that, though.
Okay, I'm
in John chapter 9, verse 31. It was actually the man that was in there that just got delivered from blindness. So it wasn't the Pharisee. It was the man who got delivered from blindness that actually is the one, because the man answered the Pharisee. Why is this an amazing thing? You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of the man who born blind.
So can I say something in that? I was looking at different scriptures where it talked about God not hearing prayers, and a lot of them from the Old Testament were coming up, and they did mention sin, iniquity.
Yeah.
So is there a difference in our conversation between someone who is, their heart is full of iniquity and they are practicing sin versus somebody who's not born again yet?
Yeah, I would say that I would never doubt that God hears the prayer of salvation, and that God hears the prayers, and God hears the prayers in foxholes. I don't know why. What I think is being said there, and what we've said in the past, is I don't think that God has a communal type prayer life. Like, as I talk to the Lord talks back. Mm-hmm. I'm in a relationship with my dad, and he answers and he answers the prayers of the righteous. I don't think I have that same kind of prayer life with him as an unbeliever. I don't think I have that communion. I don't think I have that unbroken communion. The Lord is good and sovereign. He can answer any prayer he wants at any time. But I think what I really do think, John 9:31, I don't think that's definitely not it isn't a Pharisee contextually talking there. It's the man that was healed from blindness, from what I can tell. And I think there it would be that he's basically saying, we know that those who were not in relationship or worshipers of the Lord, the Lord does turn his face from him.
Right.
The Lord cannot.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's that he never hears us. And he definitely hears us when we cry out for salvation.
I would think that if your heart is turned away from the Lord, he's not going to hear you.
Yeah, that's kind of what
you're
I was saying.
Actively pursuing sin.
Even as a believer.
But if your heart is turned toward him, even as an unbeliever, I believe he hears your prayers. And that's just, you know, I'm kind of ignorant in the matter.
I don't know
a lot of scriptural context, but that's what my heart would tell me there, is that, because how do you get to that point of salvation, you know? And I think that the Lord is so much, he so much desires us to be part of him, part of his family, part of his child, that I believe his heart is toward us as we turn toward him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is another verse I'm finding, because I've been reading this as everything's been talking. Everybody's been communicating and talking back and forth on this. Proverbs 21:13. I know we got to go to break.
Yeah.
Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered.
Yeah.
That's one instant. And another one, there's other
verse?
Proverbs 21:13.
Okay, I found it.
And so I think that's another one where prayers are not being heard because they've ignored the poor.
Right.
Which Jesus talks about that somewhere else too. I'm not sorry, Jesus. In the Old Testament, there's a part where there's great judgment coming upon Israel because of their lack of caring for the poor. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that God never hears a sinner's prayer, but I do think that there's a difference between a believer and an unbeliever.
Yeah, definitely.
And I do believe that there is a time when the Lord doesn't hear the prayers.
Yeah.
He cuts himself off from them because of their hearts and their iniquity until they want to repent and cry out in repentance. I think that's a scriptural precedence that's set, and I think like Proverbs 21:13, mm-hmm. even for what seemingly looks like a believer, their prayers are not being heard because of their treatment of their wife. Yeah. So I don't think that would be I think there's a biblical basis. I do think, though, that God hears the prayers of salvation, and that God does hear prayers in the foxholes. You know, it's like, what did they say? You can be an atheist until you're foxhole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that was the old saying, which is, if you don't know what a foxhole was, it was during wartime and it was in a trench, basically,
in battle.
Mm-hmm. So, but we do got to go to break. Maybe we can answer more questions or dialogue more about this. We got other things coming in afterwards. Monday, question number two. We need to keep this trivia streak live. How many times did the cock crow before Peter denied Jesus? How many times did the cock crow before Peter denied Jesus? I think this would be tricky for a couple people, because honestly, it was tricky for me at one time. I kept thinking it was one number and it wasn't. But we'll be right back. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood. This March 9th, 2026. Going to be a pretty day somewhere. I think it's supposed to be pretty somewhere. It's still a little chilly for me, but spring is coming. Amen. Spring is coming. All right, we do have an answer for that trivia question. Brother Robbie got it correct, and that is two times. I used to always say three times, and then I realized it's only two. Before it crows twice, denied three times. And so let's see here. Going to Micah 2, verse 2 through 5. They covet fields and seize them and houses and take them away. They oppress a man in his house, a man in his inheritance. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster from which you cannot remove your necks. And I'm reading the wrong one. Sorry. It's supposed to be 3-2. There we go.
It was a rough day for them.
Yeah, that was a rough day for them. Verse 2, you who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin from my people and their flesh from their bones, who eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off of them and break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a pot, like flesh in a cauldron. I would say these people are sinners.
Yeah, they had a rougher day.
Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them.
Yeah.
He will hide his face from them at that time because they have made their deeds evil. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against them who puts nothing in their mouths. Yeah. And that keeps going. But that verse 4 is where really it's at. He will hide his face from them at that time because they have made their deeds evil.
I do think it comes back to the condition of the heart. Are you actively walking away from God? Are you pursuing sin? I don't think God hears your prayer. But I think if your heart is turned toward him, where you are seeking or searching, then I think
maybe even in desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps even, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's consistent with a lot of these scriptures.
Yeah. I do see that. Because there were men, and women throughout the scriptures that the Lord showed himself to them even in their sinful state. And I do think that, again, it's the condition of the heart. I think there's a searching in there or, a almost not really a pursuit of the Lord, but sometimes I think even, especially in the pagan days, the not even knowing really who God is, but having that
thinking
that,
about
that,
God,
that gaping hole in your heart,
seeking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked about, I think it was Mariah asked on our Wednesday night study about Pilate's wife, because she was like, why did God give her that dream?
Yeah.
And we talked about, her possibly be seeking the Lord, thinking about the Lord. Like, I think there's several instances of that. We just talked about the ladies at the river, meeting at the river in Acts, ended up becoming a big part of the church, and they weren't born again. Right. They were just meeting and seeking.
Yeah. It's hard for us to fathom that somebody would have no concept of who Christ is. But, in that culture, in that pagan day,
Isaiah 59, 1 through 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear.
Right.
Psalm 66, 18, 19 through 9, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He will attend to the voice of my prayer. But he's saying, if the iniquity is in my heart, he will not hear. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 28, 9, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination, is what Proverbs says. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's not Old Testament, that's New Testament.
Yeah.
That we are heard because...
Where does it say, but let not that man think that he shall receive anything? Is that James?
I think so.
A double-minded man, I think it is.
Yeah. Ezekiel 14, 7 through 8, is talking about this thing, set up idols in his heart, set a face against man, and make him a sign and a pride. I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Galatians 5, 4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempted to justify the law, you have fallen from grace, which has fallen from his face, fallen from his favor. He's not hearing us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to I'm not trying to say that every time we sin, God just cuts us off. Like, I'm not saying that, but I do think that even what you're talking about, Jason, I think the heart issue is repentance. I'm coming to this place. He's hearing me, But I don't think that according to all these scriptures, and we can keep going, like there's plenty more. So the answer to your question, not hearing our prayer, yes, Jason, that seems like there's a lot of them in there.
Yeah, you're right.
And so, but I do think according to all these, there is this part that he don't have that. If we're just out there and we're in iniquity and we're in sin, we're living in it, we're unrepentant, we're not even trying to pursue him at all, whatever you want to, whatever vocabulary we want to use there, that his ear is closed to us.
Yeah.
Now, if we cry out for salvation, if we cry out for forgiveness, you know, but
I think there's probably lots of folks out there, you know, down through the ages that didn't even realize, you know, they don't understand what conviction is. Maybe they don't even understand how to receive salvation, but their heart is turned toward the Lord. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of what we're talking about there as well. I think that's probably what Brother Trent was talking about as well. But sin definitely separates us from the Lord. And, you know, the thing that struck out in my mind at reading those passages as a believer is that, you know, if I have sin in my life and I'm not actively, you know, I'm not culling it, getting out of my life, then it's going to hinder my prayers with the Lord. There's going to be that barrier, you know. Sin always has that consequence. Mm-hmm. It separates us from the Father.
Can I read one more? Just one more.
Yeah.
Because I really like this one.
Yeah.
Not really like it. It's really convicting, actually, but because I think I've been this person. But they refuse to pay attention. So, actually, if you back up, thus saith the Lord's host, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you desire evil against another in your heart. But they refuse to pay attention.
Yeah.
They turned a stubborn shoulder, stopped their ears that they might not hear.
Yeah.
They made their hearts diamond hard, lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of the hosts has sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore great anger came from the Lord of hosts. And as I called, they would not hear. So they called, and I would not hear, says the Lord of hosts. And I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations that they have not met, they had not known. Thus the land they left was desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was now made desolate.
Yeah.
I think there's tons of scripture about the Lord cutting his, not hearing. He just said, I'm not hearing. I've turned. The thing that takes me with Zacharias, he said, I called to them and they didn't answer.
Yeah.
Now when they call to me, I will not answer. That's strong language.
It is.
And that's not.
Not a position you want to be in.
Yeah. And so, just trying to be, that's just some scriptures. I mean, there's actually more we could go through.
Maybe it should be like it's a warning for us, you know, to share to others, you know. Don't get in that position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of, there's still a lot more to unpack because, again, I'm not taking away that God doesn't hear the cry of a sinner. Mm-hmm. But like of salvation, repentance. But even there in Zechariah, it seems like when he's called them to come back to him, mm-hmm. he didn't hear. And is there a time when we've rejected the grace of God? We've trampled the blood of Jesus under the foot. We've rejected the call and the pull of the Holy Spirit because we don't really choose when we come to Christ at the end of the day because we cannot come unless the Spirit draws us, unless the Father draws us through the Spirit. And so if that drawing happens and he's not drawing us, does there a hear? I mean, those are all very realistic, real conversations to be had in theology and doctrinally, because I feel like we continue to give people, if we're not careful, the opportunity to resist and reject the grace of God because we tell them there's always tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you don't want him now, you can get him later. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Where it's like, if you don't want to follow him today, the call's there, the Holy Spirit's drawing your heart, the gospel's being preached, it's okay, you'll have an opportunity tomorrow. We really are never granted that. I don't think we ever see that in Scripture where Paul says, hey guys, it's okay. It's okay, the Church of Ephesus, like, it's okay if you don't want to hear it today, because tomorrow you'll have that opportunity again. And 16 Sundays down the road, you'll still have that opportunity. God's grace is always there. I think God's grace is always there, but I do think there comes a time that His Spirit's not going to strive with men. And you could say, well, yeah, there's coming that time. But I think in our own life, we're never promised a deathbed conversion. We're never promised the opportunity to repent and follow Jesus again. It did get kind of annoying and stuff like that whenever, you hear everybody, like, I would go to these youth conferences and stuff like that, not as a kid, as an older, but like, what if you got hit by a bus when you walk out the door? Like, yeah. Well, if a Greyhound bus is coming through your parking lot, there's a problem. but I do think there's a realness to that too.
Yeah.
That not manipulating, but we're never promised tomorrow. And this call could be today. And I mean, I've given several times in my own life where I've rejected that call and it cost somebody deeply. And that God was trying to have mercy on their life. And my prayer is that He used somebody else because of my stubbornness. But I feel like there's where we have to be careful not to give people the excuse not to follow Jesus, because there's always tomorrow. Because this is one thing, tomorrow's not guaranteed. And it's not promised. And that's why we say, Lord willing, creek don't rise and the sun still shine, we'll be back tomorrow. Because we're not promised tomorrow. And so,
do you think some people that think that, like, if their parents are following the Lord and their parents have a prayer life and a relationship with the Lord, then they think that they can sit and continue to listen and just kind of choose when they're going to come to the Lord? I think that we see that in the church more than probably we have in the past. Like, there's a lot of people that we don't know whether they are saved or not, and they might think that very thing, like, well, I'll have one until I get older. Like, when I get older, like my parents, then I'll turn to the Lord.
I feel like the sense of urgency has left the body of Christ. Like, we feel like we're always going to have tomorrow. And I feel like that's an attack of the enemy. And I think that would even be like I don't want to say completely what Peter prophesied, but I think it's close where Peter's prophesying that we're going to become like complacent about the Lord's coming. And we're going to become like, well, they've been saying it for 2,000 years and it's not happened yet. So we got plenty of time. And I feel like that urgency is lost in the body of Christ to make sure men's hearts are right with God. Like, and I feel like we really do think it's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. But what if Jesus split that sky today? And even though I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, I believe more of a mid to late. But even if that's the case, what if we don't make it today? I feel like, I'm not trying to manipulate anybody, but I think there's an urgency that's got to be preached in the body of Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you're hearing the gospel. Tomorrow's not the day to receive it. Today is the day to receive it. Because if we reject the gospel today because we're not willing to repent and sacrifice, because I've actually heard people say this kind of stuff, like, I'm just not ready yet. I don't want to surrender all that. I don't want to quit doing this. I want to live my life a little bit. I want to be here. Maybe one day I'll come and do this Jesus thing, but for right now, I'm okay by myself. Like, at that point, you're basically saying, I want to worship myself and not Jesus. But then we expect Jesus just to sit around and wait for us. So this is Zechariah. He's called to me, and I didn't want to answer because I didn't want to surrender my life to Him. And only when I'm ready to surrender my life to Him, then He better be there waiting for me, or He's not a merciful God.
Yeah.
This is the hypocrisy of our day. And this is the easy believism gospel that of a God who serves us. And I feel like this is a dangerous precedent to set, and we've lost the urgency. And even though, like, I get it, like, there's some fear-based stuff in there and all that kind of stuff, the sinner's in the hand of an angry God, like, we've lost that kind of urgency.
Yeah.
We've lost that urgency to go tell people of the gospel. We've lost that urgency to knowing the fear of the Lord to persuade men, as Paul says. And I feel like there's got to be this breaking of the church of men and women and children are not on their way to heaven, and they're dying every single day. And that's not fear mongering. That's not manipulation. That's knowing the fear of the Lord, that we are to die once and then comes judgment. And is the church preparing people for eternity? Or are we so obsessed with just trying to get them to come back next week and sit in the pew again? Because men's souls are what we're supposed to be persuading, knowing the fear of the Lord. And for me, I know in my own life, I don't think that fear of the Lord's always there. Because he is loving. He is just. But as Romans remind us, behold the goodness and the severity. Because just as he is good, he can also be severe. He's both.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Matthew 10:28. Don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body.
Yeah. Amen. Well, that went a little deep. not the lighthearted Mondays that we usually have, but there should be a fear of the Lord in our hearts.
Amen.
Let's do this. We're going to do another question, and then after the break, we'll get Miss Hannah's Kingdom Corner and then try to finish out maybe another question after that. So yesterday you spoke of unforgiveness. Expound on Matthew 6:15. If anybody's got it, my app just messed up. You're welcome to read it.
Matthew 6:15?
Yes, ma'am. Mm.
Okay, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
You were talking about unforgiveness, harboring unforgiveness, and which is was a very good point. And just how deep does that go?
I think the question is here, what is this you're not going to be forgiven? Is that talk about justification? And I don't think this is talking necessarily about salvation. I think this is talking about you will reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. And as you hold unforgiveness in your heart, don't be surprised when people hold unforgiveness in their heart towards you. I think it could move. The reason I struggle with it being salvaic.
6:15?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The reason I struggle with being salvaic is if we're not saved by works.
Right, absolutely.
So I struggle with that being salvaic, but I wouldn't struggle with it. We're reaping what we sow. So, like, if I reap, for instance, if Hannah sows into discord and gossiping and slandering, not saying she does. This is a hypothetical. Don't be surprised when people slander, gossip, and cause discord in her life, because we will reap what we sow. If we sow into righteousness, justice, mercy, and grace, and we sow into what the Lord has for us in his kingdom, don't be afraid when we reap from the kingdom. I mean, don't be surprised when we reap from the things of the kingdom, but when we sow into sin, don't be surprised when we reap from it. And I think that if I'm a person who holds grudges, and if I'm a person who holds unforgiveness in their heart, and I'm a person like that, why should I be surprised when people do that towards me?
But the part I can't get around is where it says, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Oh, I get it. This is a difficult text.
It is.
I'm looking up trespasses, and it's not as, it starts out with a side slip, error or transgression, fault, offense, sin, and trespass. Then the initial definition is, it's more like not a terrible sin, but what would you say a side slip is?
I'm trying to think through this too. Like,
I have always struggled with this text. I've never heard anybody really unpack it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's hard. Yeah. But like whenever we face judgment, like even believers, like when we face the Lord and we have different types of judgment, and it talks about the fire burning up everything that wasn't, pure. And then when it talks about we've studied into this, us suffering loss, like we will suffer loss. And this is once we, This is believers in heaven, present with the Lord, suffering loss. Like, that's always kind of made me think, too. Like, how are we going to have loss in heaven? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
But I think this could be tied in with that. If it's not salvific, then, like, for example, if we sin, first of all, we have right standing with God. Yeah. We know, because when the Father looks at us, he sees Jesus. We're clothed with his righteousness.
Right.
But when we sin and we don't repent as a believer,
yeah,
like if we have just unrepented sin, but we're secure in our salvation, what happens
yeah.
with that?
Right.
Because there's more than just unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And yes, the blood covers as far as our right standing with God, but I don't think that sin just goes away. You know, like, it seems like when we're judged, there's going to be something. We're not that we're being sent to hell, but, and I don't think we fully understand it, but I wonder, do you see what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I wonder if this, him not forgiving those trespasses has something to do with our judgment as believers.
I don't know.
Now, we know if it's unbelievers, then, I mean, we yeah. know that
yeah.
they're definitely, yeah. I mean, hell.
I tend to agree that it's future. Not salvific as well, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And, well, just like you mentioned, the judgment is yeah. the wood, hay, and the stubble.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's not signifying our eternal salvation or destination. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's the things that we did that we thought was so good.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, but there are some of the good that we did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, one thing I do know, and this is the point I think Pastor Aaron was making yesterday, is that unforgiveness is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. It's not healthy.
Is right. It's not healthy at all. So, you know, that's the point. That's for sure there. What exactly the language of verse 15 means, I'm not sure. But I do know that it is a very dangerous road to be on, unforgiveness.
I think the best thing we can do is just determine not to be
exactly,
in that category
exactly.
because we really don't know for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But the closest thing I could gather just based off of what I've learned is I feel like it would have to, if it's not salvific, it would have to be something with our judgment.
Yeah.
Hmm. Amen. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm trying to do some technical difficulties here. So we're going to take.
I think you're avoiding the question.
No.
I'm just teasing.
I had some more stuff I wanted to say on it.
I will say you have been very busy this morning. There's no way I could keep
I have
my
a,
focus.
I have a radio station off the air, so I'm trying to get us back on.
Okay.
Or I had more to say about this. But we are going to take a quick break here, come back in here with Kingdom Corner, and then. I don't know, we may continue in this question or something. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, Miss Hannah, take us into the Kingdom Corner, and then I got some more text messages to get caught up on an unforgiveness that I got come in. So,
you have unforgiveness?
I'm getting ready to against technology here in a minute. It's been a morning.
You have text about unforgiveness.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay, well, I think it was last night, so... Sure, I did not stay up late enough for it to be this next day's verse of the day. So it had to be yesterday's verse of the day. I noticed that it was a verse that a lot of people like to quote, which I don't know if you all have noticed that, but I feel like a lot of the verse of the days on the Bible app, the very common, we all probably have it, is like a lot of the famous Bible verses a lot of times. But anyways, sometimes it'll be like one that I hadn't seen in a really long time, and I'm like, awesome. Mm-hmm. But all of Scripture is amazing. No matter if it's popular or not, it doesn't change the depth of it. But anyways, I just went and read the chapter. I always usually do that. And it's the 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Or your, I think King James maybe says, casting all your cares
All your care upon him. For he careth for you.
So I went back and just, you know, was reading the chapter. And I want to start in verse 6 and read through verse 11. I feel like they should have included the verse 6 and 7, but I think they only pick one verse. But the verse 6 that comes before the well-known one, verse 7, is, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." And, you know, this whole context is talking about honoring your elders, the ones who shepherd the body of Christ. And then it talks about, you know, how the younger should have humility toward one another and be submissive to elders. And then, you know, goes on to talk about how I talked about this earlier, but God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So that's the context here. So I'm going to start in verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so I feel like you just need that context for the casting your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Yes, the Lord cares about like what we're experiencing, and anxiety is a real thing. But I think we really have to look at, why in this scripture is it talking about anxiety or your what you care about? It's because it's telling us to humble ourselves. And I think that what the Lord was really speaking to me is, when we start to take our eyes off of him and off of what his instruction is, and we begin to have a prideful attitude, which is really just being self-centered, self-focused, that's when we begin to have these other cares. Our cares begin to be things that will be self-centered, but also distraction creeps in, worry about all of these things, that if we would keep our focus on what the Lord is saying, under the mighty hand of God, to humble ourselves and focus on him, then we are able to give him everything that comes up, everything that is a care in our life, because he does care for us. And so I think that it's just important to know that when reading that verse and quoting that verse, is there's so much more than, you know, just casting our care on him or our anxiety. It's to be sober-minded, be watchful, to not have our mind filled with things that are distractions, or things that aren't the Word of God, things that aren't rooted in the Word of God, things that are opinions of men or you know, lies, deceptions. Because, and then it goes on, I don't want to give too much attention on the enemy, but the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, and he thrives in places where he definitely thrives in pride. Because he's the father of that. He's the father of pride. He's the father of lies. And so, I believe that if we will follow the word and, resist, how are we going to resist the enemy? It's humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And how do we do that? First, honoring the ones that God's put in our lives. Pastor Aaron, I didn't plan on talking about this after his sermon, but he talked about correction and how, you know, our flesh doesn't like that. But this verse just popped up, and I think that it all connects and is important, and the Lord wants to speak to us that First, he's given us his word, and we have to submit to the word. We have to submit to what the scripture is instructing us in. And most of the time, if we don't like to submit to the scripture, we're not going to like to submit to the ones that he's put in our life to deliver us that scripture, to speak, instruct us, give us the correction. And so I think that context is really important for casting all our cares on him, because we have to know, just like we were talking about today, the Lord is going to, he's going to move upon our prayers. The word is going to work for us whenever we are doers of the word, when we are obedient to what he's telling us to do, to put those other distractions aside, put the pride aside, and humble ourselves and start to focus on him, be sober-minded, not filling our mind with conspiracies and other doctrines and opinions, but filling it with the truth of God's word. And that's how we're going to keep from, that's how we're going to resist the enemy. And we can take comfort in knowing that we're not the only ones battling these things either, because the word says here that the same kinds of suffering, the same kinds of trials are being experienced by the whole body of Christ. And I just love it because it tells us what we need to do, but then it encourages us towards the end of the chapter that after our suffering, that we can trust God is who has called us, is going to restore what's been lost, is going to confirm, strengthen, and establish us in our faith.
Amen. Amen. One listener said, unforgiveness is sin, and sin will definitely hinder our prayer life, and so it hinders our relationship with God. Pastor Keith Wright said that over there from Hilltop. He actually cross-referenced Peter that we talked about earlier. I would say this about Matthew 6:15.
Okay.
Now, to give you a full unpacking, I don't know if anybody could ever fully satisfy this, but I think the two things Matthew 6:15 shows us. First one, I still don't think it's salvaic. I don't think because then we're earning this thing.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, but I do think that unforgiveness and having an unforgiving spirit hinders our relationship to the Father. I believe that the Father's character and a fruit of the Spirit is really forgiveness, to walk in forgiveness, to forgive those who hurt us, to forgive those who offend us, because it's just how unhealthy it is to live in an unforgiving spirit. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, it all impacts all three of those. It impacts the whole person. So I feel like it enters our, just like most things that maybe be sinful wouldn't necessarily, like, it maybe not send this to hell, or even there's things that, you know, like, but it is going to impact our relationship. There's consequences. There's things, there's repercussions, there's things we're going to reap from that. A second take I could take from Matthew 6:15 is it's talking about people who are not actually forgiven. It's unbelievers. For those who are true Christians, we should forgive. Those who are true Christians should be forgiving people. Is that saying that we're always quick to forgive, like we're perfect in it and we're not dealing with anything or having to forgive people? No, but I'm saying that our go-to as followers of Christ is forgiveness. Christ says to forgive 7 times 70. Like, it is a go-to. And that is a fruit, I believe, of being a follower of Jesus. Are we perfect in it? Maybe not. But I think here it's like, it's a different type of having an unforgiving type spirit, where it's like not a demon called unforgiveness, but it's who you are, and that you just don't forgive well. You hold grudges, you hold bitterness in your heart. And I feel like at that point, like, it could be an exposure that you was never born again, but it could be that you're just playing around with it too much. But there's consequences of that. And the Father's cleansing has not necessarily, he's not cleansing you of all that guilt and shame. And there's things he's allowing in your life as a consequence of that sin of unforgiveness, not necessarily going to hell or losing your salvation, but there's things that you may be dealing with as a consequence of that sin that you wouldn't have it if you would forgive. And the Lord would wash you of that consequence or repercussions? It is a tough question.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's salvaic.
So do you think it's an exposure of never having salvation, true salvation, if you are never willing to forgive? Like the whole time that you're born again, you say, I want to follow Jesus, but I'm not going to forgive. And that person never will forgive anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if the whole time, you know, like I get there's maybe a season in the beginning of your walk where you're going through sanctification, but if somebody never has that change throughout their whole.
Well, the scripture said that we, men will know that we're his disciples by our love.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have love and unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And so I do think that's.
I think you can fake it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, though, you know, it does seem like that the Lord, and maybe it's because of so much of his personality. I don't want to use that seemed like a weak word, personality, you know, because of what he did for us, he forgave. So it seems like a lot of times, you know, even speaking personally, that he doesn't let it go. You know, he wants it settled, you know, in your heart and your spirit. And, you know, think of the testimony that Corrie Ten Boom, you know, shared about being confronted with the one of the guards that tormented their lives when they were in prison, you know, in the concentration camps. And, you know, and maybe he's even responsible for her sister dying. And he walks up to her in a meeting and, you know, and sticks out his hand, you know, and says, you know, she recognizes him as one of the guards, yeah. You know. And there was such a, you know, probably even a hate, you know, and unforgiveness there, you know. But in those moments, in those seconds, you know, she knew she had to forgive, and she did, you know, was able to. So it seems like the Lord, you know, he confronts us with it, you know, and makes sure that it's there, that it's settled in our heart, you know, that we have forgiven, you know. So.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was looking up, you know, the commentary. There's not very many commentaries.
No, there's not. I've looked too. There's
it's
not.
A tough one. A lot of people don't want to touch it.
I even clicked on one of them and it says no comment. No notes from this on this verse, you know. I don't know even why it's even there.
I think we can all agree that any form of unforgiveness is a dangerous place to be in.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing I took away from your message yesterday is that, and you didn't really touch on this verse. But you know, unforgiveness, you know, it destroys your walk with the Lord, you know.
Man, what you said about if you keep bringing up the same thing,
yeah.
It reveals that you really haven't forget. That's true. I mean, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Uh-huh. So that was convicting.
Every man in there said amen on that one.
You know, and you can say it.
Women
you know,
do get
I
a bad
forgive.
Rap for that, but that's not really true.
Do what?
I said women do get a bad rap about remembering your past faults, but I don't think that's really true.
What was you going to say, Ms. Gretchen?
I forgot.
Pastor Aaron would move on fast from that comment.
Yeah.
He's like, why'd you bring that back up?
No, that
was the Holy Ghost,
no
not
comment.
Me.
That was brought up at lunch, not by my family, but by... are Priscilla and Aquila the only husband and wife team mentioned in the Bible? If I'm not mistaken, they are never mentioned apart from each other. Why is that? Well, I don't think they're mentioned incredibly often. I think
no, they're
maybe
not.
Once or twice, I think.
There are a few times, but not many.
They're as like just off my recollection, mm-hmm. They are the only time.
Yeah.
Like that's the only father, I mean father. It's a Monday.
Co-pastors.
It's been a very busy Monday morning, okay? A lot busier Monday morning than it should be. It's the only husband-wife team that I do find in Scripture.
Yeah.
I don't know any other ones that would be brought up.
Is Peter's wife not really mentioned other than the fact that he had a wife?
Just he had a mother-in-law. Yeah. I don't think he ever mentions her name, does he?
I think what Jason's question is more is like ministering couple,
yeah.
Like together. Where they're together. I don't remember another one.
That's just
and they're never mentioned separately.
Yeah, Now this is going to show my ignorance here. So, you know, it could be a very simple answer and you'd be like, Pastor, I didn't know that. That's pathetic. Did Deborah have a husband?
He's not mentioned, I don't think. The judge?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought she was a widow. But I'm not sure.
So I can't remember.
She may have been, yeah, but when she became a judge, I don't know. But
that's the only other one that I could think of that's would even remotely you maybe.
Talking about Lydia last Sunday.
Was that last Sunday? Didn't really, her husband's never mentioned.
No, you were talking about that.
Chapel.
Chapel, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was never really, right, I don't think her husband's ever mentioned.
Yeah. And it would have been the cultural thing to do to mention, to not mention a female by herself. You know, they would have been mentioned together. But the Bible does several times mention females apart from their husbands.
And Phoebe, I don't think we ever have her husband mentioned either. She was an official servant of the church. Some would label her as a deaconess. I probably tend to gravitate towards deaconess, but they
may have been widows too, you know.
Could have been, but we don't have Lydia or Phoebe's husbands ever mentioned, I don't think. I'm just trying to think of the women that were mentioned. It'd be easier to think of the women because they weren't mentioned as often in this culture. Right. So, honestly, off the top of my head, just working through it, Priscilla and Aquila is the only ones that I can remember as a ministering team.
Yeah.
Which did minister to Apollos, and I think Apollos was one to write Hebrews, but that's just me.
Apparently Mary and Martha weren't married either.
I don't think they were. Because Martha was kind of like the caretaker of all things. Mm-hmm. It was her house, her property. And I don't think either one of us ever mentioned to have a husband.
Yeah. I tried to do a little dive into Priscilla and Aquila a few months ago, and there's not a lot of information there about them, but
you want them to write Hebrews.
I think they did. I do think they did. I would say those two or Apollos.
Could we be both right? Because if Apollos wrote it, Aquila and Priscilla probably had a big part in it.
Yeah.
See, we could both be right. Yeah. It was like Luke when he wrote Acts, and Luke was kind of like Paul writing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your question did say, why aren't they mentioned apart? So, it seems like,
they liked each other.
They were a team.
Yeah. I said they were co-pastors.
They were a team. So, I mean, it seems like.
It did not.
There's. Oh, gosh. It seems like the word isn't going to make any mistakes.
And they traveled a lot, looks like. Yeah. I just put Aquila in and not together. And, of course, every time you see him, it's.
I would think they were both about the kingdom business just as much as the other.
I have speculated, but I couldn't. I tried to find some information on this. Like I said, this was a few months ago. But I speculated that Priscilla was the more active minister, and that because of the culture of that day, he is mentioned with her as a covering. Mm-hmm. But that would be, that's just my speculation, though. So.
I could see that.
Yeah. And the same, as the my same proof for her writing, or them writing Hebrews, is that she may have been the more dominant writer.
Amen.
And that's why the author's not mentioned. But I could go with Apollos.
Yeah. Well, we are on that wrap-up time, just a few more minutes left this morning. If you got Bible questions, we could use them, not just for trivia, but for conversation, discussion. Always works better in the morning when you all chime in, interact, get your all's good Bible questions in there. There was one I was trying to get to earlier with the angel of the Lord and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I'll try to do that one Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
We'll try to get to that one Wednesday morning. I tend not to put too many questions on the docket for Tuesday. It's my morning off. I just got to say hello and then bye. And that's pretty much my job for Tuesday morning. From there, I'm pretty free. But I am excited for what this week holds. And I'm excited for Share-a-thon coming up here. We're going to have perfect attendance with trivia question. Until then.
Amen. God, faith believing.
We are at 2 weeks and 1 day perfect answering right now. So it's like at that point, like I want to say, Miss Gretchen, give them a difficult one, but not too difficult because let's not.
Well, I was just kind of looking over the ones that There's a few in there, I think. Yeah.
Well, as many calls as we're getting, I think people have started to get into here with us. But I do want to remind everybody, it's every two-week period. You can get your name in twice, and you must call, not text. And that's kind of the rules that's been laid out far preceding me. And so, but we are excited for what the Lord's going to do today. Praying for you guys. Pray for just some situations going on in families. A lot of people hurting. A lot of people have difficulties right now. A lot of people's going through some trials, going through some situations. And as the body of Christ, let's lift up our brothers and sisters, and let's lift them up by to the throne and intercede for them and believe God for healing. So that's kind of how I wanted to do it. I'm gonna say a closing prayer, then you all can have 30 seconds or so to do your all's final words. Anybody wants to too. But Father, we just thank you that you see every situation, you see every circumstance, whether it's devastating news, whether it's cancer, whether it's diabetes, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's difficulties. I don't know what that looks like for families, but I know so many of them are going through it right now. And we just believe you, Lord, that you're going to rebuild that hedge of protection. You're going to rebuild that wall, Father, that flame of fire that Zechariah talks about will surround them. And, Lord, we just thank you, whether it's a hospital room, a living room, a grocery store, a restaurant, wherever they're at right now, I pray the Holy Spirit would flood their hearts, lives, and souls, that healing would come, that energy would come by the Spirit of God. Father, that encouragement and ultimately faith would arise. Give people the gift of faith today, God, that we would have supernatural faith, God. If it's unforgiveness that's in our heart, let us forgive. If it's anger in our heart, let us begin to operate in kindness, God. Let us operate fully in the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit and the works of the flesh. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are moving in the hearts of men and women. And I thank you when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. All right. 30 seconds, final words today.
For each of us?
Sure.
I'll just read what's in front of me on my calendar. Drink water, study the Bible, and pray. But it should probably be study the Bible, pray, drink water. That order.
Yeah. Well, drink water while you're studying and praying.
All right. Mine is take a nap, eat cake. That's a scriptural precedent.
You could go to Patty's.
We are not endorsed by Patty's. Cool. We are not endorsed by Patty's.
My head was spinning when I finished that.
These are the views of Jason Miller, not necessarily out of the Box 2 Radio.
I'm not joking. I felt like I had an out of body experience.
We're cutting his 30 seconds
just
off.
Just wait for Sherathon, and you can have that same experience with all the.
It was too much of a good thing.
All right, those are the views of Jason Miller. Miss Gretchen, what do you got for us?
I was just thinking. No, we would like some more sponsors from our listening audience. You know, get out there and get some of your business people that you mm-hmm. work with and churches. We've got some pastors' ministries that are wanting to be on the radio now, and so
yeah,
encourage your pastors and your churches to
absolutely. We've got some room.
Be part of us.
We've had some room free up, and we've got some room for preachers to come on here and preach. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we're excited for that as well. Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow.
And if you'd like to get our newsletter.
Amen. Yeah. The Remnant Report. Yeah. You can text me, 270-230-6337, your name and address, mm-hmm. or you can call us at the station and give it to us. So we're out of time for today. We love you. We bless you. Lord willing, the creek don't rise and the sun still shines. We will be here tomorrow with the Raise a Hallelujah crew. And Miss Crystal and Miss Hannah and myself. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, 7 a.m. Central Time here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.